This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
If God called you, tapped you on the shoulder and said, Rick, I will tell you the third overall pick. And only you, right now, in the entire universe. How much money will you pay to the Chris Canty Foundation? On top of the $250.
Yeah, but how does this affect?
Wrote,
but
here, on top, thing, Rick, of the $250. Don't interrupt,
okay,
God.
Okay.
On top of the $250, you've already given for losing the bet.
This is DCR.
Don't interrupt,
okay,
God.
Okay.
On 98.7 ESPN.
You say, do you love me? I tell her only partly. I only love my bed and my mom. I'm sorry.
Oh, the big 6 o'clock hour, DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. How about that? You trying to interrupt the voice of God in the 5 o'clock hour. That's not going to bode well for you at the end, my
disrespectful.
Friend.
I apologize to God.
And you did it more than one time.
I know.
And God kind of had to slap you on the wrist and say, shut up, Rick. Be quiet.
He's too polite, though. He just said, could you please don't interrupt God.
Yeah. Listen, he's got a lot to deal with. He's not
don't interrupt
okay,
God.
Okay.
Dave Almighty.
The last person. The last.
What does that mean?
You know exactly what that means.
You know what? I'm not going to go there. I want to talk about the Nets. I'm getting tweets. How dare you talk about the NFL draft to open the show over the Nets? I apologize for that. Yeah. What an awful decision that was. We'll get to the NFL draft in a couple of minutes. The Nets win again last night. They clinch a playoff berth. You know, Jeff Green has a really good game. But I don't know if you heard in the post game what Steve Nash had to say. That they're really very uncertain about when James Harden is going to return to this team. And maybe you start to say, if James Harden is going to return to this team before we get to the postseason.
No, I think he's going to return to the team. I mean, it's just a question of when. And they're going to, I mean, they'll err on the side of caution, because if you got Kyrie and KD, I mean, I still like your chances.
Yeah, is there really anything to talk about the Nets in the regular season right now?
No,
not,
but that's
really.
A tweet. I get this tweet, Chris. It says, you know, you lead with the draft and not the Nets' big win last night.
How big win? Big, they beat one of the worst teams in basketball in the Raptors. How is that a big win?
I don't know what would be a big win for the Nets right now, to be honest with you, period. Like, if they beat the Lakers, is that a big win? If they beat the Milwaukee, is that a big win? I don't understand. Like, for me right now, everything the Nets do in the regular season is just, whatever, I don't really care at this point. Bring me to the postseason and let me see what they're all about.
Yeah, all the conversations around the Nets are their health in the postseason. Like, what are this team's prospects? Like, what are they going to be able to get done? The expectation is that they're going to get to the NBA Finals, and are they going to be good enough? Are they playing well enough to be able to beat a Lakers team at full strength? Like, that's the entire conversation. Anything else around the Nets doesn't really make sense to talk about. You're wasting your breath. Like, I get it. Like, there's a level of intrigue because we don't know when James Harden is going to come back, and we don't know if KD is going to be able to stay healthy. But outside of injuries, is there anything to talk about with the Nets during the regular season?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't see this as great conversation, really. I mean, you beat a team that you should beat 10 times out of 10 right now. You clinch a playoff berth. But to me, the conversation is James Harden, is Kevin Durant, is Kyrie Irving. Like, if those guys are healthy, the Nets are almost irrelevant until we get well into the postseason.
No, it's their health. I mean, it's the continuity. Those are the two big things. Can they stay healthy? And how does, you know, only playing 7 games together as a big three, how does that affect your chances to win a championship? And can you overcome not being a great defensive team? Because it's not, again, and I keep saying this is not how it's supposed to work. Like, this isn't how it's supposed to work, where all of a sudden you just put this, I mean, you put these three guys on the floor, they don't play together all season, and then boom, right into the playoffs, and they make a run all the way to the NBA Finals. That's not how it's supposed to work.
Mm-mm.
But they're all so damn good, Rico. And it feels like they're all at the height of their powers. You know what I'm saying? It's not like James Harden or Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving, any of those guys are past it. Like, they're all in the primes of their career.
No, but I also think the positive of that, and I get, like, if you're worried, if you're a Nets fan and that's what you're worried about, I would point to the positive being that it's been an opportunity for the guys that you know are going to need to contribute if you're going to make a run to the finals, to actually get some legitimate playing time to see what you have. Because, I mean, those guys aren't going to play. Like, if it was the big three healthy for the entire season, they're playing a majority of the minutes of the game. You know what
right.
I mean?
How much Landry Shamet are you going to get?
Exactly right. So you got, I mean, you get now Steve Nash, first year doing it, which could also be a concern, I guess, in he's had an opportunity to now get a feel for what he has and in what situations he can, you know, bring these guys off his bench, what role fits them best. So, I mean, I could say that I could make the argument that that could be a positive moving forward.
I agree with that. Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless right now. Again, I go back to it. My only concern surrounding this team is health. That's it. If you tell me they're healthy, I have no worries. I sit back, I relax, and I watch them in the postseason.
Dave, I'm sitting here thinking about it. I mean, even without James Harden, there really only feels like there are two teams that could push them in a seven-game series in the postseason. In the Eastern Conference. It really
and
only feels
Milwaukee
like there's...
And Philadelphia.
That's those are the only two teams. Yeah. Like, as great as the Knicks are playing, if the Knicks were to match up with the Nets in the second round of the playoffs, even without James Harden, I feel like Kyrie and KD are going to be too much for the Knicks. No disrespect to the Knicks. They've had a great year, but those guys are on a different level. And we saw what superstar players do to the Knicks late in games, like we saw against the Suns the other night. Like, there is a difference. There's a different level. And so I look at this Nets team, and there's really no challengers outside of those two teams in the East. And, you know, I just feel like with KD and Kyrie, even without James Harden, say he doesn't get back into the Eastern Conference Finals, I mean, this Nets team is going to be fine.
Can you believe that Boston lost to Oklahoma City, too, by the way?
Horrendous. The Knicks had a good night last night, actually.
Yeah, no kidding. I did not expect that at all, because Oklahoma City has been...
Well, hadn't they lost? Was it 14 in a row?
I mean, yeah, it was a ridiculous losing streak.
The Celtics
all of a sudden
are
in
weird.
Boston.
Didn't the Celtics lose to the Hornets the other day also?
Yes, they did. Yeah. They got blown out by the Hornets.
And that's on the heels of like having some really good wins and rattling off like 5-6 in a row.
Yeah, they've been weird all season, though.
They're up and down, man. They're Jekyll and Hyde.
Very, very strange. All right, here is Kevin Durant on winning despite so many different lineups this season.
You have to be able to dig down deep and work together and problem solve. And I think that's what we've been doing the whole season. You know, like you said, we had like 30 different lineups. The communication with the coaching staff and the players is only going to make us tighter. And now that, you know, especially when you go on the road, too, we hang out with each other on the bus, on the plane. So that little stuff helps once you get out on the court, just having that, just knowing what your teammates are like.
I'll stand by this. Even if James Harden doesn't come back, I look at them as the favorite to go to the NBA Finals. Even if he doesn't return this postseason, I would still pick them.
Yeah, but you don't feel as good about it.
Well, of course not. But if you told me I have a healthy Durant and a healthy, focused, motivated Kyrie, that'd be the team I would select.
Yeah,
that's how good they are.
Yeah, I think I'm there with you, Dave. I think I agree. Coming out of the East, if I had to bet on a team, even without James Harden, I would bet on the Nets. I just would. I don't trust the Sixers. I don't trust the Bucks. I mean, when you look at those two teams, like, I don't know who's going to be the closer for games. Because one team, the big man is your guy in Joel Embiid. And with the other team, Giannis, your star, can't shoot. So I don't know, man. You look at the Eastern Conference, and it's like the Nets are that team, even without James Harden. It's crazy to think that, but I mean, they could get by without having the big three intact until they get to the NBA Finals.
Yep, I think that's fair to say. Alex in the car. Welcome aboard, Alex. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. How are you? Yeah, I have a point. A couple of weeks ago, I believe the Knicks were playing the Nets, and the Nets came out and said they were going to rest Kevin Durant because of the Knicks' physical style of basketball. And ever since then, I was like, I hope they meet in the playoffs. If for nothing else, I know the Knicks won't win the series, but they'll definitely, make the Nets play so strongly that the Nets could easily lose the next round, depending on who they're playing, you know, based on how physical the Knicks end up playing them, you know?
That would
Let's
be the best case
the
scenario.
Second round, right? Let's hope that this is not a first-round matchup and the Knicks play the Nets in round two. It means the Knicks have won a playoff series and the city would be turned on its ear. Could you imagine Knicks-Nets second round of the postseason?
Oh, that would be amazing. That would be amazing. I mean,
that would be the best-case scenario, right?
Yeah.
Like, that means Knicks win a playoff series.
That's right.
No one, like, listen, you'd be happy with that as a Knicks fan. Anyone that wants to call in and pretend like the Knicks will win four games in a seven-game series against the Nets, I want to smoke what you're smoking. But, I mean, if they played them so tough, so physical, that by the time that the Nets got to the Eastern Conference Finals, they were worn out and lost in the Eastern Conference Finals, that would be awesome. Oh, it would be awesome. I do not want the Nets to win the championship, though. I'm gonna be straight with you.
You but hate the you, way they built that team. You absolutely hate it.
I do not like it.
Yeah.
But don't you kind of want to see them against the Lakers in the finals, just to see?
Yeah, and I would like to see the Lakers
greatness.
Win.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
I would
with
like
that.
To watch it.
Say that again. Say that again, Ricky. Say that again.
I would like to if the Nets are in the finals. I would like to see whoever comes out of the West beat the Nets. And preferably be
no,
Lakers,
that's not what
series.
You said. You
that's
said
the, I want to see that series.
You
that's
said,
what
I, Lakers.
The,
Stop.
The quote was, "I want to see the Lakers win the championship."
That's what he said.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's what everyone wants to see. That's what
yeah.
the NBA's hoping for.
Yeah, I mean, Rick secretly roots for my teams, Dave. I don't know if you've noticed.
Well, no, but,
I
mean, he has just think about Yankees that thing.
But think about the symmetry there. Think about the symmetry. What we saw in the NFL. By the end of it, what exactly we wanted to see? We wanted to see the best quarterback in football.
The GOAT versus the baby GOAT.
Exactly right. And now you have. But also Tampa, a team that kind of put together on the fly, like no, how are they going to make this thing work? Like this is not supposed to happen.
Tom Brady,
like,
they make it work with Tom Brady.
Exactly right. But it's kind of they would kind of parallel each other. The finals that you would see if it was the Lakers versus the Nets, wouldn't it?
It's what the NBA has to be rooting for.
Yeah,
I mean you talk about star power. I'm best player in the world right now. If not LeBron, he's right there. Harden's right there. Durant is the best offensive player in the world.
AD.
Who would you say is better than LeBron James, though, Dave?
No, I think it is LeBron.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I think other guys are now in the conversation where they never even used to be in the conversation.
But, I got you. I hear where you're
like,
coming
yes,
from.
Yeah. I think LeBron is a star.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis is a star. It's the Lakers who are just in their own right, that city, that franchise, star power. The Nets, Harden, star. Durant, star. Kyrie, star. And also there's an unlikability with the Nets. So I think all that factors into what is the NBA Finals that we would all like to see.
Yeah, and I'd love to see KD and LeBron match up in the Finals one more time. Like, I want to see what happens this time.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see whether or not KD is going to be able to snatch it from LeBron. Because those two have had that kind of that friendly rivalry, you know, in the last few years, last 4 or 5 years. And I just want to see what ends up happening with that. Because, I mean, LeBron James is phenomenal, but, I mean, he can't hold on to the crown forever. He can't be the greatest player in the world forever. This seems like this is the opportunity for KD to take it from him.
Yeah, it would be great for the NBA Finals.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
This is going to really... See, here's the thing. I can't even say really excite him, Chris, because I don't know where he's going to go, but really excite you.
Really excited. Really excited. Rick DiPietro on hump day. That could be dangerous.
Very dangerous. All right, guests on DCR PRV, the Goodyear Hotline. Let's go to Frank in Howard Beach, and then we'll play what Steve Young had to say yesterday. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, guys. Great to hear from you. Every morning I'm a listener to you guys. You make my morning commute an enjoyable one, to say the least.
Thanks, Frank. What's going on?
No, I'm a big Yankee fan, and last night we finally got to hit the ball a little bit. It kind of seemed like I was watching a team I'm supposed to watch, a team that hits the baseball. It's frustrating to see this team of talent, and they don't get the hit. And then we trade away Tuchman. I know we need pitching, because all we do is go to the bullpen. So I'm just... I want to hear your thoughts on the Tuchman trade a little bit, and how, you know, if we could sustain this hitting streak, maybe.
Yeah, I was to be honest, I was a little surprised. I get why they did it. I mean, he had no more options left. The guy who you bring in, left-handed pitcher who's got an option left. But I mean, Tuchman for me, and I get he didn't have a good season last year, but I mean he has elements to his game that I think the Yankees are missing. And if Clint Frazier doesn't hit.
Yep.
I mean, how much longer are you going to ride with Clint Frazier? You got Brett Gardner, so that I guess that means that you don't need Tuchman.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a left-handed bat that plays good defense,
which you don't have a lot of.
That can run the bases, can steal bases. I mean, he's athletic, which is something that I think this Yankees team could use that needs. But because your starting pitching hasn't given you any length, I mean, I understand it.
You need more arms.
You need more arms.
They're doing great, good or bad on KJZ at the moment, by the way.
That sounds a lot like Cuddle Mary Trash.
Yeah. You think it has anything to do with Cuddle Mary Trash? Did you hear this, by the way? I didn't hear it. Rick, you probably did because you consume everything. Greeny started doing a Stump Greeny segment. Is this true?
Yeah, and then I heard I was listening to something the other day.
Now, does that bother you? I know you love Greeny, but does that bother you?
I'm flattered that he took it. Here's the other thing, though, that I'm flipping through the channels, and I'm hearing, essentially, did it happen in Florida as a new segment on a show.
Really?
On a midday show. Yeah.
This is a radio show or a TV show?
This is a radio show.
Okay.
Yep.
Did it happen in Florida?
Identical segment.
These people are unbelievable.
Listen, this is what happens when you're doing 5 to 8.
They're listening and they're ripping us off.
Yeah, you're setting the table for everybody. Oh, that's a good idea. I'll steal that.
Let me take that. I mean, we should nail this stuff down. Otherwise, they just take it.
No, they have taken it, Dave.
So Cuddle Mary Trash has been taken.
Gone.
Stump Rothenberg has been taken.
Gone.
Did it happen in Florida? Taken.
Taken, yep.
I mean, what else is there?
I mean, that's every segment is just getting swiped out.
Just getting pirated.
Wait till they take observations.
That's what the segment was. It was both. It was observations turned in and like with a story sprinkled in, like a crazy story. Where did it happen? Kind of story.
That's disgusting.
It was the whole segment.
You know what? I would have some respect for these places if they said, you know what? We were listening to DCR 98.7 ESPN. We heard this segment, and it was so good that we wanted to borrow it. I could live with that. But just to take it as if we had a pre-show meeting.
We had a great idea.
It's an embarrassment.
I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
KJZ's doing a football fiesta later in the show.
Oh, yeah. Like a Cinco de Mayo kind of football fiesta. It's only a matter of time before that gets pirated.
Oh, man. All we want is the reference, Dave. Give us our flowers, man.
Can we copyright our stuff that if you take it, now all of a sudden we can sue you like the Ohio State University?
Can we
do that?
Take it! You could probably do that, yeah. I mean, if you want to go through all that. I think didn't Bart trademark Can't Wait?
All right, so.
What's on the cookie? Him and Han are top on the list as far as Hack Sparrows are concerned.
So let me get this right, Dave. You want to sue KJZ and ESPN?
Yeah.
For taking our intellectual property?
I think so.
Okay. I want to sue everybody.
Yeah. He's like the Jerky Boys. I'll sue everybody.
Punitive damages.
Here it is. Just to get you excited, to get us off the litigious conversation. Steve Young on the Michael K. Show. Zach Wilson gives off a, you ready for this? A Pat Mahomes kind of vibe.
It reminds me of Patrick Mahomes when he started playing in the NFL. And you could see that his presence, his settledness, his zen, I don't know how you want it, whatever you want to say, on the field was natural. He was born, like he was born with it, or it was because his dad was in the pros, or who knows how that happens. But there's a few guys that have come into the league that have that, usually have to earn that over a few years of scar tissue. When you start to settle down. And so, to me, Zach comes in with that. And that's the gift that I think that it's just in his DNA. And that'll bode well for jumping into the fire.
How about that? Gives off a Patrick Mahomes kind of vibe. It doesn't get better than that from Steve Young.
No, I love it, but it also scares the hell out of me, too. I mean, that's an awfully high bar. Exactly right. I mean, that's what crushes you, too, is the expectations. And that really, honestly, I mean, him being the second overall pick is going to be, it's going to be hard enough. After what happened with Sam Darnold and everything else, and now all of a sudden you want to heap on the fact that he reminds me of, in the two comps, sir, he reminds me of, if you took Pat Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers and they had a baby, it would be Zach Wilson.
Yikes.
I mean. Pretty big shoes to fill, huh?
The best two quarterbacks in the National Football League. Yeah. We're going to say he's a combination of those dudes. I mean, that's lofty expectations. And, Rick, you hit the nail on the head, man. I mean, anytime you're the second overall pick, that's going to come with a lot of expectations. But then going to the New York Jets and playing in this city, that's a whole different animal. And coming off of the disaster that was Sam Darnold, listen, it feels like things are stacked against Zach Wilson in terms of him being able to realize all the expectations that all of these draft analysts are kind of heaped on him. But if it's going to work out, I just feel like because you have the general manager and the head coach in lockstep with this being the guy, he at least has a fighting chance.
See, that's the amazing thing, though, too, is people overlook the fact with how Pat Mahomes was handled, the situation he was drafted into, like how perfectly they managed that. Like, that's why Like, that's why all these people that are saying, and this may happen. I don't know how the locker room would react to having Jimmy Garoppolo back. But if you were going to ask me, with the kind of talent that San Francisco has, to take whatever quarterback you're going to take at three, and you've given up two extra first-round picks to get him, there's going to be humongous expectations. You can win with Jimmy Garoppolo. You let him win. You let the kid learn. And then guys in practice will see, well, this kid's better than Jimmy Garoppolo. Just like Pat Mahomes was showing everyone in practice that he's better than Alex Smith. That's still a playoff team. And then all of a sudden, year two, he takes over and just hits the ground running.
Yeah, the Jets have done nothing as far as another quarterback, though.
Nothing.
I mean, I don't even know what direction they'll go in.
Nick Mullins, maybe?
Maybe. Which I would actually like. I mean, there's times where you watch Nick Mullins, you say he's a serviceable, certainly a serviceable backup quarterback. I think he's better than Mike Glennon.
Yeah, and he knows the offense, which is key. It's just a lot. I mean, with the amount of expectations that are going to be on Zach Wilson, going on to a team that's not going to be very good. They're the worst team in their own division. So he's going to struggle. There's going to be some ups and downs. And just, I mean, hopefully he's able to come into the situation and at least show us flashes of what his potential could be.
Would you be at all nervous if it was Trevor Lawrence? Like, are you only nervous because it's such the unknown with Zach Wilson? Or because you're a Jets fan and everything they touch seems to turn poorly, you're nervous about anybody they take?
No, I think that I would be nervous regardless. I would be less nervous with Trevor Lawrence because he's consensus number one pick. I get nervous when you're in a situation where now you're left up to your own devices, like which quarterback you like most.
Who's going to be second best in this draft class, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when you get, I mean, that's when you get yourself in trouble. Like, I mean, the word generational gets thrown around way too much, but there are certain drafts where you get a generational talent that everyone agrees is the best player in the draft. Like, you can't screw it up. Like, Chase Young was that. I'm hoping people in Jacksonville are hoping Trevor Lawrence is that, but he's that. Like, everyone agrees. Like, you can't,
yep,
like,
John
that's
Elliott
the pick
was
at one.
That. Andrew Luck was that, yes.
But now all of a sudden you get into a situation where it's like, okay, all these quarterbacks, I got one guy that thinks, like Chris Sin thinks that Zach Wilson's the best quarterback in the draft, right? Like, Steve Young kind of agrees with him. But then I got Mel saying, oh, I don't know what the hell they're talking about. I got Justin Fields as the number two quarterback, or Trey Lance has the highest ceiling. Now it's like, now you're just picking which one you like better. And that's why it's a crapshoot, because you could be, I mean,
it's a total crapshoot. All I'll say is statistically, you got to figure two or maybe three, if it's a good draft, of these guys are going to be big time quarterbacks. You just hope to God that you pick one of the right two or three.
Yeah, I mean, you're hoping it's a draft like, you know, where Eli, Ben, and Phillip Rivers all had tons of success.
That's right.
But more likely, it's going to be a draft like 2018, where five quarterbacks go in the first round and only three of them pan out.
Yeah, more than likely, yeah. I mean, we look at the numbers. Yeah. I mean, statistically, that would make the most sense, yeah.
That's right. You just have to make sure your guy hits. Have you ever booed your team at a home game? Where do you think the voting is for this on the Twitter poll?
Heavy yes.
Yeah, I'm going to say 70-30.
No, it's not that heavy.
I've booed my own team.
Really?
56% say yes, they have booed their home team. 43% say no, they have not.
The 43% are lying.
You think that's not true? Why would they be lying?
At some point, you've booed.
On an anonymous poll, why would they be lying?
To make themselves feel better. At some point, you've booed. Or said, like, maybe not booed, you definitely said you stink or something like that. Something negative towards your team.
Of course.
Nothing I can do! First down!
I've said some horrible things to you guys before. Horrible things.
Yeah, see, that's where you would struggle, though, I think. Because you can't help yourself. Like, with the innuendo stuff, I can't help myself. Like, there's no filter. I'll just spit it out. You with the fandom stuff, the exact same way. Like, I couldn't trust you.
I can't
stop. Exactly right. But here's the thing, though. I couldn't, like, if Chris and I somehow found a way, like, Chris made some phone calls and found a way to, like, get Dave Rothenberg to sit in the draft or, like, watch a game from the suite with, you know, John Mara, I would be deathly afraid that you wouldn't be able to control, and you would say something so heinous and nasty.
I think you're right. I think you're 100% right. I can't control myself.
Like, I could see you in the corner of the draft room. Gettleman stands up to go turn in the pick, and it's someone you don't like, and you just have a nervous breakdown right in the draft room.
That's absolutely what happened. I mean, RJ is saying in my ear, and I remember it vaguely, but he loves this tweet. There was a tweet years ago, RJ, right, where I said, I want Eric Flowers to leave the country.
Yeah, I favorited it. It's still in my favorites on Twitter from I don't know, however many years ago.
Wow. It was during a game, and he was just getting abused, and he couldn't stop whoever he was going up against, and I was so angry, and that's what I tweeted. And that's taking like a few seconds to type it out. If it's just say it, I mean, I can say terrible. That's why I don't like watching games.
Oh, my gosh. Eric Flowers has got to go into witness protection because Dave Rothenberg is ticked off on how he's playing.
Yeah. No, it's terrible. It's a real issue. It really is. I say some horrible stuff.
Eric Flowers is back in the NFC East.
Yeah, he's with Washington again.
Yeah, to the point where your kids had to eat dinner upstairs because they were afraid to be in the same room with you.
Well, it was a safer environment, like a much calmer, better environment upstairs.
You're like
true.
A wild animal. You're like a wild animal.
I mean, that's why Sherry said that the dog we used to have, Carson, died early. She said I was made her neurotic. I made her crazy. She was terrified of everything.
Yeah, on September 9th, 2018, Flowers should leave the country, hashtag NYG.
And he'll send that to me every like 6 months to a year and just refresh the fact that I, in fact, tweeted that at one point.
You know what this is, too, by the way. Like you, I mean, the stories you tell about how crazy you act and the fact that like the dog had like this, like would have nervous episodes around you, like where it would just wet itself because you were going so crazy.
Yeah.
This is karma now. You have the two dogs.
Don't make them crazy. Whatever you do, don't make them crazy.
Yeah, right.
I've been good so far. I really have.
You've been good so far. You're trying to take them out one time and they peed all over the house.
Yeah, but I didn't like forever, you know, scar them.
Yeah, but I would say
maybe
just giving
forever
them
scar, but I didn't forever scar them.
Because I feel like you're doing less with the dogs now.
I get
the feeling you're doing less with the dogs, and you're not denying it.
No, I'm very active with the dogs.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Ipso facto, you just say, play 98.7. ESPN to your smart speaker. That's it. Ipso facto.
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting there at 11, like we would. I mean, if we had our choice, and Rashawn Slater sitting there, we all agree. Like Giants should take offensive lineman. Correct.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. If that's not the case, he's already gone, and you're staring at Devontae Smith and Jaylen Waddle. Who you taking?
Can we trade down?
Smith. I don't think I would be shocked if they traded down if those guys were both available. I think they'll take Smith. I think he's the guy they like the best.
That could happen, in all honesty.
I think Miami is the key to that. I think if you get to Miami at 6 and either Chase or Pitts are there for them and they take that guy, it's hard to envision 7 through 10 take a wide receiver.
But I mean, if you have quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, 4, that's going to happen.
So quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4. For argument's sake, we'll just say Pitts goes 5, Chase goes 6. 7 through 10 are not wide receivers. You now have Waddle and Smith on the board for you at 11.
Yeah, depending on what those, if anyone trades up.
Yeah, I don't think both of them will be on the board at 11. I just don't see it. I think 3 pass catchers will go in the top 10.
3?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think 5 quarterbacks go in the top 10?
No.
So you think 4 quarterbacks, 3 receivers?
Yep.
Or 3 pass catchers. So you think that either Waddle or Smith is there at 11 then? Because you think
Pitts,
I
think one or
Chase,
the other will be there, not both of them.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's fine. I mean, you don't need both. You only need one.
Yeah, but they might like one more than they like the other one, and that guy might not be there. So then what do you do?
Listen, I understand that people seem to think that there's some semblance of a chance they trade back. I find that very difficult to believe.
Yeah, I do too, Dave. But, I mean, here's the thing. I don't think you have to reach for a player. Like, if you don't have conviction on the guy that you're taking at 11, then you should trade back. Dave Gettleman should find a way to be able to get value, get more draft picks, and then still be able to land a guy that they feel like fits what they're trying to do. I just feel like where the Giants are at right now, based on what they did in free agency, they got a lot of options available to them. They can go a lot of different directions to help their football team improve. I think their plan is clearly going to be to continue to try to support Daniel Jones And we'll see what that ends up being. I don't love the idea of them taking a wide receiver, but I understand it because this is a huge year in which you got to find out whether or not you have your franchise guy.
This is a franchise-changing season, if you have the franchise quarterback or not. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. I'll feel the joy of a sunny day, find the freedom of an open field, and taste the crunch from 100% whole grain oats. Stay outside longer with Nature Valley Oats and Honey. Crunchy granola bars, we are better outside. And, of course, all guests on DCR up here via the Goodyear hotline. We are moments away from the Wednesday edition of Stump Rothenberg. Let's go to Spike in St. Petersburg. Good morning, Spike. You're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, my friends. I have a couple of quick things. One crosstalk. I know you guys all listen to a lot of programs during the day. So on the K-Show yesterday, Peter brings up a fact that I made all this money on a lot of dogs, and I made so much I could open up my strip club. And so Michael comes on and says, do you have a strip club? I said, no, Mons Venus sends a car 3 days a week, and that's from Rick DiPietro. So gave you a little pop on that.
My man, Spike.
Funny stuff.
Spike, there may have been a Christmas Eve not too long ago that I may have taken the entire family over in that general vicinity.
Well, you say the entire family. How what does that mean?
The entire, all my in-laws, everybody. Mom, mother-in-law, father-in-law.
Chris,
sister. I would never.
Spike,
I would never.
Chris, could you imagine telling your future in-laws, hey, guys, listen, that was a great meal. I know we're all filled up now, but why don't we go take in some nudity as a family? I mean, what the hell?
Hey, you know what it's like?
A nice table reserved.
DJ
stopped
the
music. You know what my favorite part of the whole story was? Because I didn't tell anyone that we had a party bus. We just showed up, and they're like, well, where are we at? I'm like, oh, we're here. We walk in, and they couldn't believe that we were here. As I walk in, the DJ in the middle of, I don't know if it was Diamond or whoever was dancing, he stops the song, and he's like, holy bleep, Magic Mike is in the building! he screamed it.
I don't know. I mean, some of your life's decisions are mind-boggling. Spike, I apologize. Continue along. Please continue.
You never have to apologize. Listen, it's free entertainment. So I look to be the guy that has the concession at Mons Venus of supplying singles. You know, coming, you know, a 55-gallon drum full of banded up $1 bills. Just make change all day, and you get in there for nothing, you know? But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I just wanted to mention that. Mm-hmm. So with the draft, one quick thing. All right, so I'm 1-1. Here's with the draft. I always think this way, and I mentioned it to RJ in the pickup. You can't win with the draft. When the draft calls after the draft, it's never like everyone loves it. Very, very rarely. You always get the pros and cons, which makes for great best sports talk. So my last comment to you guys, and always thanks a lot for the time. The Knicks got to kick their ass tonight. This is a major ass-kicking in the Knicks and the Bulls tonight. I will be disappointed. I just want to hear you guys.
Just win the game. And thanks for the call, Spike. I don't need to destroy Chicago. Have one more point than Chicago does when the final buzzer goes off. That's it. I don't need to destroy them. That'd be fine. It's not
it would be
necessary
nice.
For me.
No. Come on. It would be fine. It would be better than fine.
Yeah, it would be great. But I don't need that. Just give me a win. I'm not throwing away a win. Give me the win. That's it.
I'm with you on that one, Dave. Chicago is like lint on your suit jacket. It's not like you got to go through this grand production to get rid of it. Just brush it off your shoulder and keep it pushing. Like, that's what the Chicago Bulls are to the next season. Like, this is a game you should win. Take care of your business. Move on to Houston.
No such thing as a bad win. Win the game.
But, Dave, it wasn't a question of good win or bad win. Spike's point was it would be nice to just watch them destroy the Bulls so I don't have to worry about it. I don't want a close game going into the fourth quarter.
It would be great. But you know what? I can endure a stressful fourth quarter if it means that at the end of the day, the Knicks wind up with the victory is all I'm saying.
I don't know if I can handle it. I mean, with what we have going on with the draft and everything else, it's a lot.
Well, we got the mock draft. We got the
Mets
Knicks
can't
game,
hit.
Islanders, Rangers tomorrow night. You're going to have a nervous breakdown is what's going to happen to you.
Oh, you won't? You know who's pitching tonight for us, right?
The Grom.
Okay, so we have to watch that? Like, if we have to watch another DeGrom start.
But DeGrom starts are not stressful. They're sensational.
When they don't score him runs, it's stressful.
Well, it's just kind of expected at this point, isn't it?
It's sad. I mean, it really is sad. He'll be the only one that hits.
He'll drive in scoreless. The Mets will win 3-0, and he'll hit a three-run homer to supply the offense. All right, let's go. Santi, play the music. Here we are.
He's confident.
I have so much knowledge.
He's arrogant.
I'm a big star, you know.
He's unstable.
I'm crazy.
He's Dave Rothenberg.
You don't think I'm smart?
And now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
All right, you talk about stress. This is stress. Stump Rothenberg brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Rick, you're participating today, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, of course.
Chris, do you have a question as well?
I am not participating.
You're
I'm going to be a voyeur.
Okay.
Yep.
You'll help me. You'll root for me, though.
Yes,
silently
absolutely.
Root for me
absolutely.
Over on the side. All right, let's bring him in. The great, the one, the only, Andy in Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR. What's up, Drive Time?
What's up, Andy? How are you?
I'm a little distressed. I swear I thought I saw a bobcat in our backyard, but
Rick is dropping
I got
off
bigger
bobcat.
Plans for you too, Andy. Bigger plans. Forget the bobcat. I hope you get attacked by a bobcat.
Well, only an animal would say something like that. Go ahead. What do you got, Andy?
I got a draft question, David.
Okay.
Mac Jones is expected to be a first-rounder tomorrow. He and Tua, back-to-back years at an Alabama quarterback have been taken in the first round. There's only been one other first round draft pick in the common draft era. Name that tied quarterback.
First round pick?
In the common draft era.
Which
1957.
Is what? So it's not names because he's before. I'm thinking Richard Todd. Is it Richard Todd? Definitely Alabama.
Final answer?
Hang on a second. I'm thinking.
That usually means you're right when he does that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because he's
not
on your
sure,
payroll.
Though. Fine. But if I'm wrong, it's your fault, Andy. I'm going to go Richard Todd.
Roll Tide.
Yeah, there we go. There we go.
Hey,
this is what
boy.
Happens when you're in cahoots. This That's is what happens when you're in cahoots.
Stop
and you already
it.
Know the question. You're an act... You should have won. I mean, you should win at some point an Oscar for this performance.
You know, I don't have to do Stump Rothenberg. You want to eliminate it from the show? That's fine.
No, I think this one we have to do it just to draw
no,
attention to the fact
no,
that everyone
no.
keeps stealing.
No. I'm not going to sit here and let you belittle me and say, oh, you know, you're cheating and you're Oscar worthy and he's feeding you the questions. No, I'm not doing it. So what happens when you ask a question, I get it right? You know you're not feeding me the questions. What's the excuse there?
No, I feel like you're doing more than feeding him just the questions. The little setup you guys have.
Now, you're an evil guy.
No, you know it. Am I up?
No, you're out today.
What?
Wow.
That's right. The way you
no,
treat
no,
me.
No, you can't. You can't. You can't
do whatever
ban
I
me
want.
From
it's my
Rothenberg?
Segment. Until some other show steals it, this is my segment. All right? You're up.
I like it better when Anita does it. I'm going to be
honest. Yeah, it's really good when Anita does it. Go ahead. You're up.
All right, here we go, David.
Yes. Rick.
Since 2010, how many first round quarterbacks have started and won a Super Bowl?
First round quarterbacks started and won a Super Bowl 2010.
Since 2010. That would be 34 quarterbacks since 2010 have been drafted in the first round. How many have started and won a Super Bowl?
Gosh, I'm just trying to think. I mean, the Eagles, no. Giants, obviously not. Cowboys, no. Washington, no. Detroit. I mean, I got to go through kind of every team, it feels like. But are there any? I mean, obviously 2020. You have one?
Since 2010?
Yeah.
Since 2010.
First round quarterback to start and win a Super Bowl?
Correct.
Yeah, there's, I mean, Pat Mahomes.
Pat Mahomes is one. He was the 10th overall pick. That's right. I mean, Brady's not. Raiders, no. Broncos, no. Browns, no. Dolphins, no. Brady's such a big one. Since 2010, right?
Since 2010. Yep, there have been 34 quarterbacks. How many have started and won a Super Bowl?
So Mahomes?
I'm going to need a final answer.
All right,
I'm
going to
need a final
answer. Give me a second, okay? So the Chiefs did it. The Patriots is a no. Rodgers was picked prior. They didn't win even in that era. Is it maybe only Mahomes? So Brady, no. Mahomes is a yes. Then Brady. Then Philly won, and that's a no because that was that sloth of a quarterback. Foles.
Wow.
No.
Wow.
So Denver. Denver would be a yes. That'd be Peyton Manning. So that's two.
He was drafted before 2010.
He was drafted before 2010, yeah.
All right, so it's just the one. Then I think it was New England prior to that. Then Russell Wilson.
This is just getting ridiculous. No. Just give me a final answer, would you please?
Quiet!
It was on me. It's RJ.
Then Flacco?
Flacco was 2008 draft class.
Yeah, so he's a no. Wrap it up. Eli's a no. Rodgers is a no. Breeze is a no. I'm gonna say just one then. Patrick Mahomes.
One is correct. Pat Mahomes is the only one.
Oh, God.
So there you go.
It took you 5 minutes to get it.
You know what?
Right.
We got it. It took time, but we got it right. Let's go to Rick. You can't rush greatness, Chris. You can't. Rick in Queens. Good morning, Rick.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing great.
Yeah, the two of you fight like an old married couple.
Yeah. He's very
now,
mean.
Now, here's my question. Dave, did you grow up in the New York area?
I did, yes. Long Island.
Do you remember Bill Mazer on Channel 5?
Yes, the amazing Mazer.
He used to have Stump the Amazing Mazer. I got him five times.
So you
times
stole the segment,
before
Dave?
I was 8 years old.
Yeah, but here's the difference. Bill Mazer was just to sports questions and trivia. I have gone outside that scope.
Okay, well, that's great. You're a Renaissance man. Here's my question for you.
Thank you.
Who was the last American League switch hitter to win the Most Valuable Player Award?
Vita Blue.
Wow, you are the man!
All right, you're an innocent.
That is great.
Get out of my face, and that's 3-0.
So nasty.
Well, he was obnoxious to me.
Wow.
So when I hit that out of the park, I have to dance on his face there. That's 3-0.
I actually think he was trying to be nice to you. I don't think that was disparaging.
No, he's like, oh, you're a real Renaissance man. I don't think so. If he was, I apologize. If not, I continue dancing. Let's go to your favorite, Rick, Sal and Duchess. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
What's going on, Sal?
If I need a hint, Sal, will you give it to me?
No. 1990. Okay, listen. Chris, don't say nothing. I know you know this one. From the movie The Naked Gun.
Oh.
Leslie Nielsen played Frank Drummond.
Drebin.
What fictional character did he say was playing the national anthem and was behind the plate?
Fictional character was... So Enrico Palazzo was the umpire.
That's it. That's the answer.
There you go.
Enrico Palazzo!
See you on Saturday.
Yeah, see you on Saturday, Sal.
If I give you the year, I know you'll get it.
Do you see what's happening here? I'm undefeated.
Don't touch the money.
I think we stopped there, right? We ended right there.
No, don't touch the money.
Keep going.
Oh, God. All right. Let's go to Matt in Hicksville. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. In the Super Bowl era, in other words, the modern era of football, who's the only NFL player to make it to the Hall of Fame despite being named to only one Pro Bowl besides John Riggins? There's one other.
Wait, Hall of Fame player in the NFL, only one Pro Bowl.
Named to only one Pro Bowl. John Riggins is one. Who is the other?
I don't know.
That's a tough question.
Edson Arantes de Nascimento. I'm going to guess. No, and I guess Len Dawson's probably not even...
So, Matt, you said John Riggins is one, and then there's one more?
Yeah, there's one more guy to have done.
Yes.
Jan Blachowicz. No. Jan Blachowicz. I don't think I know this one.
This is a great question.
This is a good question. Is he in? I'm just thinking Drew Pearson, but I don't think that's the answer. I don't think I know it. I'm going to guess, and this is going to strike the undefeated record for the day. I will guess. I really don't know. One Pro Bowl Hall of Famer. I'm going to guess Drew Pearson, but I know it's not right.
Not right. It was Ray Nitschke. But back in his day, in the 60s, in the late 60s, early 70s, they would only name one middle linebacker to the squad, and it was always Dick Butkus.
But I always thought that Ray Nitschke was prior to the Super Bowl era. Like, he might have lapped over into
that. No, he didn't retire until 1972.
Yeah, there was some overlap.
But he started in, like, the 50s.
Yeah.
That's fine.
That's not a great way to go out. We're wrong. I apologize. We should have just went out on a high note.
I mean, so Super Bowl era starts in what? In
67?
67. So if he started his NFL career in, I think, 58 or 59 and ended in 72?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like we should give you a little bit of a pass on that one, Dave.
That's fine. I think I did well today. Yeah. I don't need to continue along. That's Stump Rothenberg, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Place your parlays, props, and future bets at the king of all sports books. Get the app and do it today. All right, quick break. 800-919-3776. The Vita Blue question really added some jump into my day. That was a wonderful job by me.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.